Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
This first song talks about remembering our past and the walls and the giants and the fear. Sometimes I know that we'd rather not think about our past, but it makes us remember that God pulled us out of that pit. He rescued us and paid for our sins. And remembering help strengthen our faith. And when we face obstacles in our present, we know that He will help us in our future. So God, I pray that we would never forget what You've done for us. I pray that we would remember that You will help us through anything that we go through, because that is who You are. You are our God, and You love us.
Sin and shame. They were like prisons that we couldn't escape. But He came and He died and He rose. Those walls are rubble now. Remember those giants we called death and grave. They were like mountains that stood in our way.
Jesus can bring power. The name of Jesus can bring peace. He brings salvation. and we speak the name of Jesus over you, over your family.
Holy name, Jesus.
Worthy is the Lamb, forever and ever. Amen. If you read the Bible, there are roles designated for every person in the family. Husbands, wives, children even. There are things that you're responsible for. And that's true of grandparents as well. I just wanted to read this verse, Deuteronomy 4:9. It tells grandparents, I'm going to summarize, just to teach the commands of God, the ways of God, to your children and to their children. There's a responsibility that you have that I want to call you to. That was given through Moses, and he wanted grandparents to be vigilant about the way they live their life. You're called to live your life as an example to your kids, but also to your grandkids. And that's a tremendous honor and a tremendous privilege that you have, right, to teach them that. Psalm 78 tells grandparents to teach the next generation and the coming generations the glorious deeds of the Lord. You have a testimony to what God has done in your life, to what God is doing in your life, to how you're depending on Him to live this life that you can share with your grandkids and that. The role of the grandparent, if I could sum it up in one word, is heritage. That's who our grandparents are. They're the rocks of our family. They're the people that we look to, that we depend on, that we go to. How do you fix this leak? How do you deal with this? Lead the way, right? You might have not been the best grandparent before, but you can make a 90-degree change, a 180-degree change. You can steer every get-together that you have from here on out. You can say, hey, you know what? Before we start this party, this Thanksgiving, we're going to pray. And we're going to give God glory. Can I call you to do that, grandparents? Lead that way, right? Nobody's going to mess with you. Everybody listens to their grandparents. So use that privilege to lead your family. Grab a children's Bible if you have young kids and read the stories found in God's Word to those kids. Pass that on. I'm blessed. I was blessed to have a great grandma. She donated the land to this church. She was super giving. She was a woman who prayed. She was a woman who followed the Lord. And she set that example. And generations to come after that will be blessed through that example. My kids have amazing grandparents, and I'm grateful for them. Let's take that responsibility on. Can I pray for you? If you have a grandparent here today, would you just put a hand on them if you can? Find a way, get out of your seat, go up to them, put a hand on them. Let's pray for them. Let's honor them, right? Because we love you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our grandparents. We thank you that they are people that we can look to. Lord, not perfect, but none of us are. Father, I pray that from this day forward, they would be people who honor you in everything that they do, that they would be people who live for you, that they would steer their family towards you. Father, I pray that you would lay it upon their hearts to lift their families up every day in prayer. Father, I pray that you would use them to speak your word. I pray that they would take leaps of faith starting today, and that they would have a testimony to tell you, to tell their kids, to pass down a faith and legacy. I pray that that would be the heritage of every grandparent in here today. Father, would you bless them? I'm reminded that you tell us that you will sustain them, that you will be with them. Father, your word says that even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who sustains you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. Father, be their God. And help them to pass this on to the next generation. Lord, we just give you all honor and praise.
You are holy. You are holy. A thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of ages to the Lamb. And all have gone before us, all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all, above all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions. Your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy. In freedom, if you bear his name and sing the song of ages to the Lamb, and if you've been forgiven, if you've been redeemed, sing the song forever to the Lamb. Oh, we'll sing the song forever. And dominions, all powers and positions. nations, your name stands above. Your name is the highest. Your name is the greatest. Your name stands above, above all thrones and dominions and positions.
Your name,
it stands above them all, and the angels cry,
holy,
all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high,
holy,
oh, holy forever. Hear your people sing, hear your people say,
holy,
to the King of Kings, just cry, oh, only all creation cries, he's holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever, hey, yeah. Hear your people sing, you're holy to the King of Kings. He's holy. You'll always be holy, holy forever. You will always be.
I always have to pray after that to get myself together, so let's pray together. Oh, Jesus, I can't believe this is my life. It's too good to be true. Sweet Lord, I remember falling on my knees on the concrete floor by that fireplace in that alabaster house and begging you for the church. And you heard our cry. And one person at a time, you have done the impossible. And God, help me just in the next few minutes to communicate that being in the Church of the Nazarene is about being a part of a missional movement and that the gospel is still true. We pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we are your missionary church planters in Sofia, Bulgaria, in a country where less than 1% of the population believes in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. A recent survey was done in Europe, and Bulgarians rated themselves as the most hopeless, depressed, and isolated people group in all of Europe. And we live and serve in Sofia, Bulgaria, because our beloveds are beautiful and broken in the city of Sofia, a city of nearly 3 million. And we believe that Jesus lives to be encountered by broken people. And we believe that God's favorite way for people to encounter the living Jesus is through the living body of Jesus Christ. That's you, church. And people are encountering the living Jesus. About 2 years ago when someone said, really, what are you up to in Sofia? What's your passion? What do you want to see happen in Sofia, Bulgaria? This is what we said a couple of years ago to a pastor that asked that. We said, well, first of all, we're not interested in simply people conceding the argument and admitting we're right about something. And we're really not interested in people simply saying, okay, I'll pick up a new moral standard for my behavior. We're not even interested just simply in people saying, all right, I'll take on a new set of religious practices that match yours. What we want to see, what we're passionate about, is the most hopeless, depressed, and isolated people in Sofia encountering the living God named Jesus and their life being radically transformed to the point that you don't recognize the resurrected life versus the broken thing that was before meeting Jesus. That's why we live in Sofia, Bulgaria. So when our boss asked us about a year ago, she said, Joshua and Katie, how will you know when it's time to leave Bulgaria? How will you know when you're done? And we said, well, we will know it's time to move on when we have no more stories to tell of the living Jesus, because witness is the evidence that the gospel is true. And we want stories to tell of encounters with the living Jesus. We'll know it's time to move on when we have no more stories. Well, I have good news. We have stories to tell, church. And if you want to hear more, you can see us back by our table or something, but I have time for one story, and I'll make it quick. It's a 3-year story, but I'll make it quick. I'll never forget meeting Pavel Vlachkov for the first time. Actually, his son went to school with my daughter in preschool, and so we met them at a birthday party, and we collect relationships. So we said, let's get together and have dinner. So we went to a pretty nice restaurant with a playground in that restaurant where our kids played together, and the kids ran off to play together, and we all sat down, and Pavel looked at me, and he said, I'm one of those straightforward type guys, so I want to know, what is an American doing living in Bulgaria? I mean, you're from the promised land. We're the poorest country in the EU. What are you doing here? Cut through it and tell me. And I said, listen, all right, I'll go for broke. You asked, I'll tell you. We live in Sofia, Bulgaria because we love Jesus so much, and we believe Jesus loves you so much and loves all of Sofia so much. And the best way for people to discover that Jesus loves them so much is in a gathered people that love Jesus so much, which is the church. So we're here to start churches, and we're here to let you know Jesus loves you. And there was a short break, and he began to laugh hysterically. He laughed until tears rolled down his cheeks in the middle of this restaurant. Now everyone's looking at us because in Bulgaria, the lights are dims in restaurants and you talk at this level in restaurants. And he's laughing. And when he finished laughing, he proceeded for the next 2 hours to absolutely make our faith the butt of every imaginable joke. He ridiculed us. He made fun of us. He called us ridiculous, stupid, brainwashed, and cultic, and said, I can't imagine anybody so ignorant and stupid they would move all the way across the world for something as ridiculous as Jesus. It went on so bad that by the end of the dinner, his wife hung her head and she said, yeah, when I was a kid, I believed in God. But of course, being married to someone who thinks so little of anyone who would believe in Jesus, I left that a long time ago. And we got in the car and I said to Katie, I've never met anyone in my life more hostile to the gospel of Jesus than that guy. So I put his name on a yellow sticky note and I stuck it on my wall. That's what I do. And I put Pavel Salvation. And we began to pray. Well, fast forward, and I began to regularly schedule coffees with Pavel so that my faith could continuously be ridiculed for 2 hours at a time. And we did this for about 2 years, and we continued to meet and continued to get to know one another. And at one of those coffee meetings in a cafe, he hung his head and he said, Joshua, I'm a drug addict, and I've been a drug addict for 23 years, but my wife just found out because I was a partner in a business, but my gambling debts have gotten so high trying to pay for my addiction that I've lost everything. And now my wife knows and my whole family's falling apart. And if I'm not careful, I'm going to end up owing the wrong people the wrong amount of money and I'll be dead. And we continued to get coffees and he ridiculed my faith for hours at a time. And then one night I got a call at about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and Pavel said, Joshua, I'm calling to let you know I will be dead soon. He said, because I just did drugs again today and I don't have the money to be doing them and I can't stop. I've tried everything. I can't stop. And he said, I do now owe the wrong amount of money to the wrong people. And he said, I'm calling you because I want you to know you're a good friend. And when I'm dead, I don't want you to feel guilty because it's not your fault. You were a good friend. But there are just some situations that you can't be saved from. He said, even if I had the money to get out, I'm addicted, so I'd get right back in. So I'll be dead soon and probably my wife and my son with me. And he said, they know where I live and they know who I am. And I just wanted you to know you're a good guy and you're a good friend and it's not your fault. And he hung the phone up and we prayed and we, for about another couple of weeks, went to get coffees together. And he was a different man knowing that the end was coming and that he was trapped. But he continued to ridicule my faith. I'll never forget, by coincidence, one morning I told Katie, I'll go drop Caitlin off at school. I normally don't do that. I dropped Jude off at school. He goes to a different one. Kate was dropped at school. Katie normally does that for our daughter, but I went that day. I dropped Kate off at school, and as I was on my way in to drop her off, Pavel was coming out, and his eyes were bloodshot, and he looked tired, and he said, can we meet today? And I said, well, yeah, sure, we can meet today. Normally, I'm preparing my message for Sunday today, but yeah, let's meet today. When do you want to meet today? And he said, in an hour. And I said, in an hour. Yeah, let's do that. I'd love to get my faith ridiculed on sermon prep day. So I went home, and I went into the house, and I dropped all my stuff, and I got a jacket and put it on, and I got my bag and put my stuff in it. And I told Katie, I said, I'm headed out to have my faith ridiculed. Pray for me. Pray for Pavel. Thumbs up. And I went down to the cafe. I walked down there, and when I walked up, I saw Pavel pacing. He sat down when I sat down and then stood back up. And I stood up, and he sat down, and I sat down, and he stood back up. And he began to pace back and forth, and he was fidgety. And finally, he walked over to me, and he said, Josh. And then he got quiet, and he looked around, and he said, I know there's a God. And I said, how do you know? And he said, because he came to me last night. He came to me. And I said, he came to you. And Pavel said, I can't even describe it to you, and I'm still a drug addict, and I'm still broken, and I'll still probably be dead. But God came to me last night. And I went home, and I put a sticky note next to that other sticky note, and I said, it's happening. Pavel's discovering God. Fast forward. Pavel had never prayed. He'd never cracked open a Bible. And his parents said to him, we understand better that you'd be addicted to drugs than this stupid Christian thing. Pavel got into an 8-month rehab about a year later. And on the 1-year anniversary of his sobriety on October 16th, 2024, he was baptized in those nighttime waters to the headlights of our cars. He was baptized that night, and he came up out of that water in his underwear, and all of his family was standing there. In case you're wondering, it was about 10 degrees, and we were freezing. And all of his family and friends who think his new faith is ridiculous as he thought it was, stood there, and he gave his testimony about how, as broken and lost and addicted and hopeless as he was, God came to him in the night. And I'm here to tell you, church, we have stories to tell because there's still witness and the gospel is still true. Jesus walks the streets in Sofia. And he's coming for the Pavels. And I want you to know, it's already been said, that's your story. That's your victory, church. Because we believe that the best way for the people of our world who are broken to encounter the living Christ is through the living body of Christ, the church. And we receive great grace from that body. And as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, great grace should not be wasted, but should be declared that others would come to believe. I want you to know that that's one story. I didn't even get to tell you about Kami, who was baptized. I didn't get to tell you about those other people. But church, I just want to celebrate with you that the gospel is true in Sofia. And I want to say a huge thank you in the small time that I have. I want to thank you for your giving. You bought this shirt. You bought this shirt. Do you know that the Church of the Nazarene is a lot of things, but we're a missional movement, church. We are desperate for the Pavels of the world. And so the church gives itself away. Every local church gives itself away and buys my shirt and puts a roof over the head of a new church plant. And that church plant's desperate to be a part of that movement, so it begins paying alabaster, and it begins contributing in a desperation to see Pavels across the world come to Jesus. We're thankful for your pennies that bought our house. We're thankful for your dollars that bought my shirt and the pillow under my children's heads. We're thankful for churches like, just to name a few, Bedford and Worcester and Painesville, who sent packages and letters so that on my way to school one day, Jude said, Daddy, I don't want to go to school today. I said, why don't you want to go to school today? I'm a guy from a town of 700. I never met a foreigner as a child. My son said, because I'm the weirdo. I'm the foreigner. And I have a funny accent when I speak Bulgarian. And all the kids know it, and they make fun of me, and I feel like I don't belong. And I can say to him, son, you know what? While you slept, the church in America, the sun was up. And they covered in you in prayer as you slept. So that you would know today, Christ is going to school with you. And you belong. Thank you for prayers that you pray as we sleep that anoint us with the Holy Spirit and prove to my children. Thank you for packages so that when he got out of school that day, it was a miracle. It was a horrible day. Got home, there was a package. Doesn't even matter what's in the package. Someone sent us a package. And my children know they belong to a missional movement of God called the Church of the Nazarene. We're a family. Thank you for everything you do for the mission of God. Please don't stop. Because Pavels are walking the streets in Sofia. And they're saying things like, I know I'll be dead. And there's no hope. The gospel is true, church. And because it's true, we get to be on mission together. Thank you. Thank you for everything you're doing. This is your church family, and these are your victories. Don't stop. The kingdom is coming. The kingdom is coming. Can I just end the way Paul ends that letter to the Corinthians? He says this. He says, my love to all of you in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I am going to pray. I didn't plan to, but I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray in Bulgarian, if that's all right, so you can hear the language that your brothers and sisters call out to Jesus. People who have never opened a Bible or have never heard a prayer. People who never knew this hope, they cry out to Jesus in this very strange language, different from Spanish or Portuguese. Let's pray together. Nekada se molim zajedno, skapis uz toko sam je blagodaran za tijelo na Hristovu. Toko sam blagodaran za tazi crkva, za tezi skapi hora, zašto to ne možem da napravim ništa v tvoje ime bez tezi skapi hora. Znajem, skapi suse, vsičko je vzmožno v tvoje ime i će carstvo na gospoda idva v tozi moment. Знаем със сигурност, че когато се събираме и когато ние сме част от мисията на Господа, всичко е възможно. Ако Павел, той може да има изобилен живот в Твоето име, ако той може да има нов живот в изобилие, всеки един от нас може. Няма значение кое сме. Скъп Исус, аз те моля, благослови тези скъпи хора, като те благославят моето семейство. Ти си толкова добър. Аз не мога да си представя, че има нещо повече от това, което вече са направил за нас напред, но аз вярвам, че това е просто началото. Се молим в името на нашия Господ и Цар, името на Отца, Сина и Святия Дух. Амин. 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 Thank you, church. God bless you. We love you.